people memorize 2 Timothy 2:2? That was an assignment. Don't you remember? I'm surprised that you forgot that. Well, now that you've been reminded, I think it would be good to have that verse in mind, because I'm hoping that all of you are going to have some faithful men to deal with, men and women. Nobody knows it? And the things that thou hast heard of me among faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I didn't talk very much last night about the arrangements to make, but all we'll say is if you have somebody who says, I want to learn, I really am interested in being an effective Christian, you tell him that you're glad to help him, you expect him to be faithful in his commitment, you arrange a definite time, and you let him know that you expect him to be there. You probably should give him some assignment, something to do. And we'll be talking a little about that tonight. Of course, one of the first things you want to do is introduce him to the Word of God. Very often you'll find a new convert has no idea about what the book has in it or where to start, how to get into it. And some people are a little bit naive when they say, well, just give them the Bible. It's like saying to a newborn baby, there's the kitchen. Go in and feed yourself. And I'm afraid a lot of people have lost out as far as developing into mature Christians right there. Because the Bible is there, they don't know how to get into it, they start reading in Genesis. I had an experience like that. You know, I was a chaplain, and they issued New Testaments to the soldiers going overseas. I was in Boston at the port of embarkation, and one of the things they did was pass out New Testaments, and I think I had something to do with passing them out. And so one soldier picked it up, he said, I never had a Bible in my hand before. And he took it with him. And in about a half an hour, he came back and threw it on the table. He says, hey, you can have it. He says, it reads like a telephone book. What happened? Matthew genealogy. Couldn't get through those names. How many people stop right there? Because nobody has given them an introduction. And how valuable for a young Christian to have somebody who's acquainted with the book to help them find out what it's all about. Your object, you might write this down, is to create a love for the Word of God in that individual. Of course, you can't create a love for the Word of God in them if you don't have that love yourself. In other words, your disciple must discern your love for it. But a word of warning in that connection, don't overwhelm him. I'm going to give you several methods for getting help out of the Word of God. If you give him all of these at once, you'll probably overwhelm him. He'll probably say, well, I'll never make it. Maybe some scholars could do it, but I couldn't. But the Word of God is not just for scholars. It's for everybody. So you have to balance it. Don't expect too much. Don't overwhelm him. But on the other hand, do expect something. Let him know that there is a certain responsibility for the things he's learning from you. irresponsibility is not good for a young Christian. In other words, if you've given him something to read, when he comes back, ask him what he's read. Find out what his understanding of it was. And that's the beauty of having man-to-man relationship, because how many people listening to a sermon have no opportunity ever to ask the pastor, what did it mean, or would you explain this to me? Very seldom that you have anything like that. Some churches, I understand, do have a question and answer period after the morning service where people can come and discuss the sermon with the pastor, which is a good idea. So, create a love for the Word of God. Now, the interesting thing is, I've been interested in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, because this is typical of man-to-man work, Paul, with his son in the gospel, Timothy. Timothy was his convert. And here we find Timothy, a pastor in Ephesus. And Paul writes these two personal letters to him. And lots of things are in there to help understand how to train a young Christian. I've discovered that he mentions five different ways to get help from the Word of God in the two letters to Timothy. And I'd like to discuss those with you. And when you know there are five different ways, of course, you can proceed from one to the other when you think they're ready for it. The first and easiest way is in 2 Timothy 1:13. He says to Timothy, his son in the gospel, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The first and easiest and natural, most natural way for a young convert to grow in the Word of God is to hear it. And that probably would be one of your first jobs with that young Christian, and that is, be sure that he gets to some place where someone is preaching the Word of God, where he can sit under the ministry of a man who preaches the Word. You can't always assume that. And it certainly is what God had in mind, because he called pastors, he called teachers. Well, if he called them to expound the Word of God, then he certainly must have intended that some people listen to them. So, you know, there are some people that say, well, I think we got to get it direct from God ourselves. And there are some people that don't like Bible schools for that reason. They would say, they would be critical of a school like this because they'd say, well, you can get it yourself. Well, I would say that God gave teachers for a reason. And there certainly is normal for a Christian to be regularly under the preaching of the Word of God. And hearing it, of course, is the easiest. And you should see to it that your babe gets under the Word of God regularly. Well, the next one is to read it. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, he says to Timothy, give attention to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Now, my Bible has in italics public reading. But naturally, if he read it in public, he would be reading it for himself too. So, I believe every Christian should have a reading program for the Bible. That's different from study. Don't try to read and study at the same time, because your reading will go so slowly that you hardly ever will get through the Bible. Reading is for the advantage of getting an overview of the contents of Scripture. And I would have some kind of a reading program that gets you in touch with the contents fairly regularly. I would recommend to you, and I really don't think it's asking too much, and that is to read at three different places every day in the Scripture. Start at Genesis, Psalms, and Matthew, and read one chapter in each place. In doing that, you can get through the Bible in a year. And that way you're getting historical, poetical, and New Testament, all of which are different and very important complementary parts of the Word of God. You can read three chapters in 15 minutes. I do it. At the moment I'm reading in two, I finished the New Testament. Don't know how I got through that quicker than usual. But anyway, I'm in Proverbs and Jonah right now. And I read a chapter in each every day. Just about every day. Once in a while, I miss. But it's a good program, and not too much. And what I do, I make a little mark at the end of the chapter so that I always know exactly where to start again. And when I have that little mark on all the chapters of the Bible, and I know I'm through. Get a reading program going. There's a big discussion about which version of the Bible you should read. The Living Bible is pretty popular today, and it does certainly break it down for anybody to understand, but really, it's pretty careless with the text. And a lot of important things are overlooked and not mentioned or brought out in the Living Bible. I think I would hesitate to create a taste for the Living Bible in a brand new Christian so that he doesn't ever know the more accurate text of the Bible. If he's going to use the Living Bible, I would say as a complementary version, along with the New American and the New International are both very good. And very accurate, and they've eliminated all the archaic English of the King James. There's a new modern King James, too, by the way, where they've eliminated a lot of that stuff. You know, these and thous. But I think I would always indicate that they should have something a little more accurate than the Living Bible as a start. So read it. Now, another big question is, where should a brand new convert begin reading? What would you say?
John.
John. Why John? Why? Why?
I would say the Gospels. You either get a whole picture of the Gospels.
What about, you mean all four? No, but I'm talking about where do you start? Which one of them? Which book? Yeah?
I'd start in Mark.
Why?
Something always happens.
You don't think he's working in the other Gospels?
Well, he is. But he starts out, bam, and something's happening all the time.
Yeah, and it's the shortest of
and
the
it's
Gospels.
Short, too.
Yeah. Yeah? How do you see that personal level?
And Josh is right.
Anybody else got an idea where they should start? Revelation. Matthew?
I don't really think it's so important if it's...
I've been trying to find out why people suggest John. I think they do because there's 3rd John in there about the new birth. Is that it?
No. Well, that's probably true.
Well, I admit any place, any one of the Gospels, but of the Gospels, I'm convinced that the most interesting reading is Luke. Because it starts right out with beautiful details of the birth of Jesus. And I guess you know that Luke was an artist. They say, tradition says Luke was an artist. And he writes in a more descriptive, beautiful way than any of the other writers. And John, I don't know, I think that first prologue of John's first chapter, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was not anything made that was not made by Him." And I think that would be a pretty difficult concept for a brand new convert to say, what's this Word? In the beginning was the Word. There's some pretty heavy things in that first chapter. And Luke includes quite a few stories that are not in the other Gospels, and some beautiful ones. I really think it reads more descriptively and dramatically than any of the other Gospels. I think it would be probably a little better help to get a taste for Bible reading to start with the Gospel of Luke. Did anybody know Dawson Trotman? You know who he was? Anybody know about the Navigators? Well, Dawson Trotman founded the Navigators. And it was my privilege to be a friend of his. And Doss used to have a beautiful illustration about getting hold of the Word of God. And I'll start using it now. He would say, you can hold the Word of God with one finger. That's the person who just hears it. But if you have a second finger, you also read it, you get a better grip on it. Okay, we'll go on. The next one is to study the Word of God. Reading and studying are two different things. The verse I would give you on that is 2 Timothy 2:15. Surely you know that. Study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are verses you really should know. What does it mean, rightly dividing the word of truth?
Not twisting it to say what you want it to say.
Huh? How about correctly interpreting it? Everything in the scripture that you read has to be interpreted. It has to have some meaning for you. And that meaning that you derive from it is your interpretation. One of the things that I think it's very simple, but I found that lots of people never grasp it. Get into the heart and mind of your new convert to have a Bible study notebook. It always grieves me to hear wonderful things being preached from the pulpit and know that the people sitting out there that are not taking notes will not know what I said 1 week from today. And that teaching, that preaching in the service is supposed to be the education of the church. It's a dirty trick, but I have done this. After preaching in the Sunday morning service, I've been invited to somebody's home for lunch. And at the lunch dinner table, I've said to them, what was my text this morning in my sermon? They always make a joke out of it, and they all have a laugh, but usually nobody knows. And that's supposed to be the education of the church. And they don't even know my text. I would encourage them, and of course to do that you should do it yourself, and that is have a loose leaf notebook about the size of your Bible that you can grab easily, and incidentally, pay some money for it. Get a good one. Get a leather bound one. Pay some money for it. You know why? You won't leave it lying in a corner someplace. Have a good ring notebook, loose leaf, and have it with your Bible. And wherever you go and whenever you hear something good, something that impresses you, something that you immediately recognize as truth, write it down. and read it again. Of course, if you don't ever read it, it doesn't help much either. But get into the habit of having a notebook and encourage your young Christian right from the start to have a Bible study notebook that he has with him all the time. Very simple, sounds very simple, but I found few people actually do it. And they hear things and they go to lectures and they go to, you know, outstanding preachers and they hear good things and they're thrilled at the moment, but you ask them 2 weeks later what was said, they don't know. Don't remember. And that's a shame. I mean, if the man that's up there preaching has prepared himself and spent hours prepared to deliver something worthwhile for you to learn from, and you only remember it half an hour and don't ever recall again what he really said, what's the point of it all? You should make a practice of taking notes on what you hear and going over it very soon afterward to fix it in your mind. Not only that, but in your notebook you should have some kind of a study project that you're working on. Maybe working through a New Testament book. So that whenever you have a little extra time, you can flip it open and right there you know where you left off and carry on from there. That would be a little heavy probably for a new convert. But if he sees that you have a study project, one of the days he's going to say, hey, how do you do that? How do you get into that? Don't let time get by without improving your grasp of Bible truth. And to do that, I can tell you, you've got to study. Just surface reading is all right to acquaint you with the content, but study is the only possible way to really get into what it says and make it a part of your life. All right, what do you need to tell that new convert about study? The first thing is to help him get a good Bible with a reference Bible. I found that a lot of people, young converts, have no idea what those little letters are all about in the text. They don't know what references are. And sometimes it takes them years before they finally find out because nobody ever bothers to tell them. For you to explain right at the start, now look, when you read and you see a certain word and you see a little letter by it, look over on the margin and you'll find other verses that refer to the same subject. To you to tell him that right at the start would be a big step forward for his study of the Bible. I don't know if Cass has covered this or not, but I would like to recommend other tools that you should have and as soon as possible get them into the hands of your new convert. How many of you have seen Haley's Bible Handbook? Yeah, you know it? Do you have it? It's excellent because if you're going to read a book in the Bible, every one of them has an introductory section in which you can get the basic idea of the book and the general outline and any peculiar, unusual things about it. To have read that before you start reading a book gives you an excellent introduction into it. It's all there in that one little volume, Haley's Handbook. What a help it would have been to me if somebody had put that in my hands when I was first converted. Because a lot of those books I was reading, I didn't know what I was reading. I didn't know under what circumstances those men were writing. And it makes a lot of difference if you know who wrote it, where he wrote it, to whom he wrote it, and what the subject he was writing on. Another good book, it's a pretty big one, but I found it a great help. And I actually didn't obtain one of these for myself until quite recently, and that's Knave's Topical Bible. Knave's, N-A-V-E. Anybody that has one? Yeah? Is it a help? I'll tell you why it's a help. I suppose everyone has access at least to a concordance. A concordance tells you, according to the actual word, If the word is found in the verse, you can look it up that way. But a Knave's topical Bible doesn't only go by the word, it goes by the topic. The actual word may not be in the verse, but the idea is in it. And Knave gives you the topics in addition to the words. And to be able, if you're studying a subject, to flip open Knave's, if you're looking up the word love, and you've got all the verses that directly or indirectly refer to love, you've got the whole list of verses right there before you. Yeah? N-A-B-E. Knave's topical Bible also a good commentary, one volume commentary has been a tremendous help to me. I've got one that's I've had all my Christian life. It's worn to a frazzle, but it's always on my desk, because a one volume commentary, of course, doesn't go in detail. But usually, if it's a difficult text and you look it up in your one volume commentary, usually by reading what they say, it clears it up right away. I don't know the best one. Nowadays they've got some better ones. What is? Anybody got a good one? One volume? That's not so good, because he doesn't deal with every verse. But a one-volume commentary usually has, at least if there's anything problematic at all, it deals with every verse. I've got one by a man named Dummelow, D-U-M-M-E-L-O-W, but that's an old one. That's the one I've worn out. I can't think of the name of the man that's done a recent one. Has Vine done a one volume commentary? I don't know. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure if you inquire at the book room, they do have a number of one-volume commentary. And if you can afford it, have one. And at least let your new convert know that there is such a thing. A lot of them don't know. They don't know such things exist. Make them aware. There are excellent tools so that you don't have to read the same verse over and over again. And every time you read it, say, well, I just don't know what that means, so I'll skip it and go on. And you do that every time? Well, how does your knowledge improve? Yeah?
Well, for one thing, by reading other scripture verses and referring them to the same place, and maybe someday I'll understand what I didn't understand 10 times.
Like using the references. Mm-hmm. Using the references,
just
yeah.
Just by getting an overall knowledge of the Bible.
That's right. Use the references is very good, but the thing is, a new convert doesn't find it easy to start going back and forth in the scripture. And a one-volume commentary, a good one. I'll have the name of a couple tomorrow, because I think you should know, if you don't have one, get one. And, of course, a concordance, a regular concordance. Usually the ones in the back of your Bible are not exhaustive enough to be a help. Very often many verses that you want to find are not there. I've got a very nice little Young's concordance. It's about that thick. And Young's, of course, is pretty exhaustive, except that this is on very thin paper, and I can carry it around with me, and I have it usually at my hand whenever I'm studying or reading, because you want maybe often to look up a word and see if the same idea is in other places, and you've got the whole list of all the words right there. Everybody knows, I trust, what a concordance is, huh? Everybody use one? It's amazing. You assume sometimes that everybody knows these things, and I found it's not always true. All right, so much for the tools. Now, in study, there are various things that you could suggest to a young convert to begin study. The first one I would suggest is a word study. You have a certain word and you'd like to know how it's used in various connections. So, of course, a concordance would be very useful because you've got that word listed every place it's in the Bible. The word love. You want to find out what the Bible teaches about love? To start writing down, looking up all the verses, and then drawing a conclusion about what it means. Very close to that would be a topical study, which may not have only the words, only the verses with that particular word in it, but the topic. And there, of course, the name's Topical Bible would be a help. Then a verse study, taking a verse that has a certain truth in it and carefully analyzing it, comparing it with other verses that say something similar, and exhaust the meaning of that single verse. You can do lots of times a lot of study just finding out about one verse. Then a chapter study. I suppose nothing would be more ideal than 1 Corinthians 13 to do a chapter study in which you've got one subject dealt with in one chapter and carefully analyze what it says, write out what you discover. Chapter study, very often. Hebrews 11 would be an excellent chapter study on faith. And then, of course, a book study, to go through a book. I'm reading Jonah at the moment. That's an excellent little book. Four chapters to stay with it until you've got it all analyzed. You'll find certain words come in again and again. The word prepared, God prepared a fish, God prepared a gourd. Find out how many things God prepared. Find a lot in the book of Jonah as a book study. And in all that study, don't forget and drill this into your convert. Never just learn for the sake of learning what it says. Always ask the question, what does this say to me? How does it apply? Avoid, like the plague, theoretical knowledge of the Bible. You're not learning it so that you can say, I now know it. You're learning it because it has a word for you. Everything you learn has an application. If it doesn't, why learn it? Write that in big letters on a page in the notebook of your new convert. How does this apply to me? And, as I said earlier, give them some reasonable assignment to work on so that you can check on them to see if they're doing it. If they don't do it, they're not being faithful men. Not too much, I say reasonable. So that when they come back, they can say, this is what I'm doing. Am I doing it right? And you can talk and discuss with them, and that's the beauty of person-to-person relationship. They have a chance to find out if they're doing it right. Give a reasonable assignment. All right. You can get a hold of the Word of God with one finger. That's the people that hear it. You can get a hold of it with two. You got a little better grasp of it. That's the person that hears it and reads it. You can get a much better grasp of it if you also study it. There's another way to do it, and that is to memorize it. You won't do anything in the way of memorization if you don't have a system. I found a verse in Timothy that implies memorization. That's 2 Timothy 3:15, which says, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings and are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, well, he may have known the scriptures, but that doesn't mean he memorized them. I kind of doubt that. I've had a little experience with the way the people of the East treat their sacred books. I'll never forget being in Damascus in the big mosque there. I was being shown around, and I saw this circle of young men, about 12, 13, sitting with a big, thick book on their laps, all mumbling to themselves. And I said to the guide, what are they doing? He says, they're memorizing the Quran. Memorizing the Quran. I said, you mean they'll memorize it all? He said, yeah, by the time they're 18, they'll have it all. Could that be a reason why the Muslim religion is spreading more rapidly, growing more rapidly in America than the church? They're building mosques in all of our major cities. They've got a lousy theology, but if all the people that belong to it know their sacred scriptures to the point where they can tell you exactly what it says, they have an advantage over most Christians. So when it says you have known the Holy Scriptures, I'm pretty sure that Paul is saying there are many passages of the Old Testament you got committed to memory. Now, you'll never do it if you don't have a system. Any of you have ever used the Navigator memory system? It's a very simple thing, but it has to be simple to work. And I would recommend that you try it. If you want to get their system, you can buy it. And I think the first part of it is only 18 cards, or maybe 36. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I think they've modernized it. But they've got it according to topics. And they've selected excellent verses, printed them on little cards, and the cards go in a little pocket with a little window in it. And the idea is that you carry the little packet with you all the time. And the way you do it is you memorize 3 verses a week. Now anybody, even if you just read them every day for a week, you'll know probably what most those 3 verses say. So, 3 verses the first week, 3 verses the second week. And you do that until you've got 6 weeks worth of cards in your packet. 6 times 3 is 18. You've got 18 cards. That's the most you'll ever have to review. But by the time you've got 6 weeks, 3 of those have been in there for 6 weeks, and you've seen them every day. So you take the 3 out that you know the best. Maybe not the first 3, but the ones that there are always some that are easier than others. You take them out and put 3 new ones in, and then go on with just those 18 cards, never more. And once a week, you go back and review the ones you took out of your pack, which are quick to review because those are the ones you know the best. Now, that sounds simple, and it is, and it can be done. And I know navigators that know 2,000 verses using that method. You say, well, it takes work. Sure does. Actually, not very much. If you've got those cards handy, you'll find that very often, when you're walking, when you're waiting for somebody, I used to memorize mostly waiting for my wife. It was an excellent opportunity. to utilize the time. How much time do we actually waste in a day where we accomplish nothing? And to have a little pack where you can just sit down and take a look, the advantage of it is you take a look at the window, you see the verse where it is, and if you don't know it, you slip it out and read it and stick it back in, and you do that 2 or 3 times, and you won't have to take it out. You just recognize immediately what it is. It's a system. If you know a better one, do it. But to have a system. The word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hiding it in your heart means to memorize it, I'm sure. And the marvelous thing about it, when your mind is stored with the knowledge of the word of God, you don't have to go any place, don't have to find a book, how often you'll have an opportunity in a situation to immediately recall, oh, that's what it says. And if you've got some of those key verses, believe me, they can help in a given situation. So I would let my convert, my new babe in Christ, get the impression that all God's children have the Word of God in such high regard that they will have some kind of a system by which they are taking in more and more into their memories the Word of God. How many of you know basic youth conflicts? You know the leader of it? Bill Gothard says that he was a borderline flunk out in school throughout his lower grades. And he says, that's what he says, that when he started memorizing the Word of God, it transformed his mental capacity. And he got top grades from then on. What he says. I don't have the explanation for it. But I guess you know, he's had a terrific impact on American Christianity. And I presume that it was because he got down to business with the Word of God. Memorize it. Have a method. And you don't have to get the Navigator card system. I mean, cut yourself a little set of cards and start writing the verses on that you want to memorize. You come across a verse and you think that's a beautiful verse, I could use that one. Write it on a card. Stick it in your pocket. A little easier. They picked out some excellent verses to memorize. But have a method. Don't let too many years slip by without becoming more and more deeply involved with the actual text of the Word of God. It will stand you in good stead in the future, I can guarantee. Well, the Word of God, you get a hold of it by just hearing it. But if you hear it, and you read it, and you study it, and you memorize it, you got a pretty good grip on it. But you still got one more. And that's to meditate on it. 1 Timothy 4:15, the word meditate is in the King James Version. I'm sorry it isn't in the New American, but I'll read to you what it says. 2 Timothy 3:15. Did I say 4? 3:15.
What was the reference for the...
I'm sorry, 4:15 it is. 1 Timothy 4:15, I'm sorry. Incidentally, did you notice it's kind of interesting? Here it is 2 Timothy 1:13. Read it is 1 Timothy 4:13. Study it is 2 Timothy 2:15. Memorize it is 2 Timothy 3:15. And meditate upon it is 1 Timothy 4:15. It just happens to be. I don't suppose your Bible says meditate, does it? Mine says, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. What does yours say? Four methods that I've talked about gives you, stores your mind with what it says, but meditation, which gives you a grasp of it, without the thumb, you can only hold it kind of loosely. But when the thumb is on the other side, you've got it in a good grip. What does that mean? That means meditation lets that which you've already gained by your various methods talk to you. So meditation ought to be a part of it. Now, please understand, I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. You know the difference? Do you know the difference? Well, a lot of our young people, especially the drug culture, are into meditation. And what they do, the main idea of transcendental meditation is to relieve your mind of all thought. A favorite exercise of transcendental meditationists is to imagine a dot on a white sheet and think of nothing but that dot. And get your mind clear of all thought. And they claim that they get benefit out of that, that they relax more and so on. But that isn't what the Bible means by meditation. Meditation in the Bible means dwell on that which you know and consider what it says to you. And I'm sure that meditation is the most important thing, because knowing what the words say is not enough. Now, there are no tricks to meditation. The only thing you have to be sure about is to have time, some time, not a lot, but some, and quiet enough that you're not distracted. I know some people go into the bathroom to meditate. The only reason they do is because it's the only place where they can be entirely private. But if you practice that, if you actually will see to it that you get a little time to let the Word of God talk to you, you'll find you begin to thrill with what you're learning. And I hope that thrill begins to break through in this Bible school. Because if all you get is a bunch of facts and you haven't learned how to let it communicate to your own heart,